Amen.
Amen.
If you would open to the book of Revelations, and we'll start there. I have the NLT version, so it'll read a little different, but I think I can pull up the King James on my phone. I promise you it won't ring. I always silence that thing, and it decides to ring tonight. Well, praise Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to Revelations 1. I'll read the King James out of here first, but I want to get back to the NLT. I like the way it speaks to me. The apocalypse in the Greek means, that's where revelation come out of. It means to reveal or uncover. That's where revelation came from, the term revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the apocalypse, it is the only real apocalyptic book in the New Testament. Although there are some books that refer to the end times and have apocalyptic sentences in it, but Revelation is the apocalyptic book that has the acts, the apocalypse from chapters 5 to 18. And then, of course, 19 is the marriage, 1,000-year reign, and 20. And 21 is, I forgot what that was, and 22 is his kingdom come down. Isn't that wonderful? It's our king. He's setting up the kingdom of God. That's what we pray for. That's our hope for the future. So a lot of us look at it as the end. Well, it's not the end. For the Christian, it's the beginning.
Amen.
And that's why I wanted to teach on this tonight. Not teach in a way that that you would understand. Bert reminded me when we were talking up here that Hilton Sutton was here and he taught on Revelations, and I'm going to dig those up because I think I can really glean from those. So I'll go back and try to find those. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Number 3, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. You're blessed tonight. Blessed is he that readeth, and that they hear the words of the prophecy, and keep things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want to go back up to verse 1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Let me read the NLT. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This in his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel. God, Jesus Christ, sent an angel to present this revelation to servant John. Now, actually, if you think about it, the angel was telling John to write these things down. So the angel was actually downloading to John to write these things down. Ironically, John had wrote the book of John, 1, 2, 3, John. He wrote those books, the letters. But he didn't have an angel downloaded to him, though he did it in the Spirit. But in Revelation, he is in the Spirit, but he has a vision of an angel. And the angel's telling him, write these things down. And John is writing. So it's Jesus Christ, what he has from his Father, tells an angel, tell John, so that John can write these things down. I found that fascinating. Now, there are arguments, by the way, that angels, the angel they were talking about there was John, but that's not true, because you'll find it in other scriptures here, and we'll go over them, that this is the angel of the Lord talking to John, and John is writing this. I like to say downloading it. He probably couldn't write fast enough. So John wrote this, downloaded by an angel, in 96 A.D. I found that fascinating too, because in 33 A.D., when Christ was crucified, and then he came back after his crucifixion, 40 days he talked to his disciples and taught them, and here we are, we're 60-some years, because some says 90, some 95, but let's go with 60-some years later, he's coming back, and he's telling John to write these things down to go to his churches. Now, that's, what kind of love is that? Yeah. That church is such a love for his church. You have to understand how loved you are. Yeah. And if you understand that, like Tim taught, it is a privilege to come here, because he loves us so much. Amen. That he would come back after his resurrection, come back 60-some years later, and still write to the seven churches of Asia Minor. I want to get off on the seven churches, because I want to do that in part two. There was so much there that really was fascinating about the churches. And by the way, I just want to make a side note too. Aleppo, if you have the churches that are lined up in like a football standing up, they're lined up, the seven churches, and Aleppo is out here. It's kind of like out here. Now, I was telling Pastor, I believe that the Christians had migrated or went east, if you will, into Aleppo. So I believe when those brothers and sisters were getting, when they blew up the city or the town, whatever you want to call it, and then they turned around and chemically bombed them, that's our brothers and sisters. That is our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be on our knees crying out. Now, I know there was a counter thing. I don't want to get into any of that tonight, but I do want to tell you that Aleppo is so close to the seven churches of Asia Minor. So I did. I prayed for Aleppo, and I says, Lord, that's not right. I says, they should be defended. 96 A.D., he wrote this book. The theme, the Lord, is about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. First, four chapters are about John receiving that, and then he's talking about the churches, and he sends a message to the church. Literally, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and literally it's the world kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ has come. I wanted to say that, I wanted to jump ahead a little bit, because in John's vision, he says the time is near. He says the time is near. He says some think this means that coming right away in John's lifetime, and he got it all wrong. But I believe 1 Peter 5:8, if I have that right, is one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. So in that aspect, if you think of that, he didn't get it wrong. One of the other reasons was once these events start that they will move quickly, and neither are right. They won't move quickly. They'll move according to God's written plan. Yep. This actually started in a consummation of the ages with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we're nearing coming in when he speaks to the churches, and we go, actually Pastor said this, and I read this also, that after chapter 4, the church is not it's not mentioned from 5 to 18 at all. Church is not mentioned. I believe that the church is taken up at that point to heaven. We, the church. It's best perceived, if you want to perceive this at all, you should perceive this as God's kingdom is here now. The Lord's Prayer. If you prayed the Lord's Prayer, you prayed the kingdom here now. Mm-hmm. And how then are we going to live if the kingdom's now? Actually, it's in our face. The kingdom of God is in our face. We've been told repeatedly we have that resurrection power if we want to use it, if we believe that we can speak creative words in our lives and create our circumstances with the Lord. And we can still be the avenger because we're blessed. So you can speak to evil and speak the blessing as well. The kingdom of God is here. That's what the real message is here. Christ is here. He's with us. So how are we going to live that it's by work done faithfully for God's glory that has enduring value? It's what you do for Christ. Tim preached this, and I believe it. We get too busy. You just get inundated with this world, and it's easy to do. We have beautiful children we have to take care of, and we go do that. And we do get engrossed with things of life. But you have to remember, don't ever forget who you are.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget that. Yes. Don't forget that you are Christ's child. Don't forget that when circumstances are not going your way, that you can speak the word and change them. I wanted to mention about John, St. John, some of the names he had. He was in the Isle of Patmos. Now, Patmos, if the churches are right here and they're in a football, Patmos was out here in the Aegean Sea, and they would exile those that talked against the government. How many remember? Because I remember it well when I couldn't say Merry Christmas to a cashier. How many remember that? I'd said it anyways, but it wasn't politically correct. Well, in John's time, nothing was politically correct. They didn't want to hear it. If you spoke against their gods that they set up, you were exiled. Patmos was the isle where you went, and that's where John was. John was on Patmos. He actually was pastoring his churches from Patmos. He had sent a messenger, and their messaging route was counterclockwise, that they would start around the churches, and they would give the message that John had for them. John was called John the Apostle, John the Evangelist, John the Revelator, John of Patmos. He was called John the Divine, which there was an argument about that also, because John the Divine later on in the century, they credited him a John Divine from writing Revelations, which was not true. We all know that John was the author of Revelation. John the Theologian, the Son of Thunder. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He was considered to be in exile as a result of anti-Christian persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian. Domitian was a mean man, and he didn't favor the Christians at all. 96 AD, he was the writer of the Revelation, author of the Gospel of John. In 90 AD, John is the son of Zebedee, written after the destruction of Jerusalem. He had wrote the book of John. In 70 AD, before John's exile to Patmos, he had wrote the book of John. Domitian's reign forced Christians to choose between Jesus Christ or Caesar. Caesar. You choose. They would come right up to your face. You choose. Choose which one you're going to serve. What would you do? What does the rule of Christ mean in a political situation of persecution and social stress? Because we were in that crisis here a year and a half, 2 years back. We were in a social crisis, and they meant it. The book of Revelation is about our Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, the world kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ has come. There's three major divisions. They were things past, they were things present, and things future. Revelation 1:9 was things past, Revelation 2 was things present, and Revelation 4:1 was things future. Things past were the Patmos vision. The things present were the churches, and the things future were the church period ends. There's three major divisions. There's a series of six sevens, and the seventh would be the church, the seven churches of Asia Minor. The six were the seven seals in Revelation 4. There were seven trumpets in Revelation 8:2. There were seven personages. They were in 12. They will be the whore, the dragon. They were persons actually that were portrayed in images. They were seven personages. There were seven vows. There were seven dooms, and there were seven new things. The church had seven divisions. They were seven churches. They were Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They were in that order. And it was that order that John of Patmos would send an angel. It wasn't an angel from heaven. It was an angel, a messenger. So there's a different meaning to that. So he would send a messenger that would deliver a message to all the churches. And the churches were in that circle, and they were probably 50, 75 miles apart. So a messenger could give the message to each and every one of them. That's how much Christ loved the churches. And if you get this picture, how much he loves us, then maybe we would really change the way we see God and Christ every day in our lives, that we would put them there every hour. Because he's worthy of that. He's worthy to say, Lord, I praise you. And I purpose to do that. As often as I can think of it, I remember John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth used to, Smith used to apologize to the Lord if he didn't praise him every 15 minutes. He would say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Praise you. Praise your Heavenly Father. So, you know, I'm sort of trying to get in that. So is that religious? No, I don't think it's because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion and a personal relationship are something totally different. Because I don't think you would want to be around a religious person that I'm not going to name any churches, I could, but they act differently. They act pious, and some can't even quote scripture. They just do what the churches do, and that's religion. But we don't have religion here. We are not religious. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What makes us different and unique is why Christ loves us. Amen? Amen. Okay, we got the verse 2, didn't we? Verse 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listens to its message and obeys what it says, for the time is near. I'm reading the NLT. I know it's going to read different in the King James. Verse 4 gets off. The letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. From the sevenfold spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things. The first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Church, if you don't believe he shed your blood for you, then you have no basis in Christianity. That's how important. And as we enter into Holy Week, we are in Holy Week. As we do that, we will focus on his death, resurrection, and his ascension, because he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and the curse over mankind. Those were defeated, church. You don't have to fear death no more. Death is no more just like walking through that door, because he took that pain. We don't fear death. There's no pain in death. It is a graduation. It is not annihilation. Amen. We walk through the door to be with him. Amen? Amen? And our bodies will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:65, it'll be resurrection. It'll be resurrected where mortality puts on immortality. So we don't have to fear death. He defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can shout. Amen. Why? Because you have the victory. Yeah. That is your victory.
Yeah.
Your life is with Him.
Amen.
Your life is forever with Him. Eternity is forever. You cannot measure eternity, because as soon as you measure to the end, it's far beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7 says, look, He comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see Him. This is the second coming, church. Everyone will see Him, even those who pierced Him. Even those who pierced Him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for Him. Yes, amen. Because now you cannot deny Him. Christ lives. Now you see it. Those that even made a mistake at the cross, after He died, they said, this was the Son of God, Son of Man. So those, when He comes in the clouds and they see Him, there's those that are going to mourn, and those are going to just cheer and be glad. Yeah. Amen? It's our Lord God. Revelations is a book of our King coming home and setting the kingdom up on earth for us, in us, and through us, so that you would be kings and priests in the city of our God. Amen.
Amen.
You'll govern. You'll be a governor of cities because you were faithful here. As we'll talk about in the seven churches, there's a lot of things there that really, really impress me, that all we have to do is hold on. Hold fast. That persecution's going to come. You may feel tired and defeated at times. They're only feelings. You win by faith. If you believe God, He's going to strengthen you, and you will have the strength of Caleb. If you believe that God's going to heal you, that healing, you speak it. Speak life. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you're sniffling. It doesn't matter. That is a symptom. That is a feeling. What really matters is you believe and receive that by His stripes you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. That's what's important. To Abraham, because he believed, it was imputed to him righteousness. Because he believed. I fell about 2.5 weeks ago. And I want to share this because I never knew such pain. I never knew such pain. It hurt. And I laid my hands on it. I prayed in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Well, you know what? I went 3 weeks. I was functional. I was told 6 weeks I'd be down. That didn't happen. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that He did that for me. Amen. But I woke up in the middle of the night, church. I could not. I'm a side sleeper. I could not sleep in my right side. I could not sleep in my left side. And when I laid my back, if I had my hips adjusted the wrong way, it hurt. I woke up in the middle of the night the first week and I cried out, Jesus, I had enough pain. I had enough pain. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Because it hurt. And I did do pain meds.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to. Woo! It hurt. It hurt. You couldn't go to the bathroom. You couldn't be in your chair, your recliner. You couldn't get dressed. You couldn't breathe. It hurt. And I never knew such pain. So you know what? I have empathy now. Not just sympathy. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I have empathy now.
Sir.
I know what pain is.
Yeah.
And I thank Jesus that He healed me. Because actually, by the clock, I shouldn't even be up here now. But God is faithful.
You,
He defeated death, hell, the grave, and the curse over mankind.
Yes, He did.
He defeated the sickness. He defeated the pain. He made you prosperous. He set your feet on solid rock. Man, He called you and anointed you for such a day as this. Hallelujah. John was told what to write down by an angel sent and signified by Jesus. By Jesus' angels, and sent it and signified it by an angel to John. Revelation 22:16. John has sent my angel to test. Jesus has sent my angel to testify. Revelation 22:6 says, sent His angels to show unto His servant. Revelation 3:10. This is for you. He will keep you from the hour of temptation. You're not even going to see the seven vials, seven trumpets. You're not going to be here for that. You go to Romans 5:9, it says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The EXP says, the expanded says, be saved through Christ from God's anger or final punishment. You're saved from that. Don't ever let anybody lie to you, think you're going to go through that. You are not. Used to be a mid-tribber, I ain't there no more. I'm pre-trib. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. The message says God didn't set us up for an angry rejection. The Amplified says God didn't select us to reject us. The expanded on 1 Thessalonians 5:9, which says, he hath not appointed us to wrath, but rather unto salvation. The expanded says, God didn't choose us to suffer his anger or wrath, but to receive his salvation. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. We welcome our King. We welcome him to come here and set things straight. We welcome him to come here and take care of those through whomever vessel, whether it be any vessel at all, to take care of those children, his children, in those churches, to save them from chemical assault, to save them from death and persecution, to save them, or at least to take them through it. Amen? God didn't leave us here for his wrath. And when that happens, that is unjust. That is unjust, and God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when his children's getting ravaged by disease or sin, or when they're getting attacked in their body. He doesn't like it, Nick. He doesn't like it. God wants to heal us. He wants us to have victory in this life now. This is where your victory is. If you hear someone say, oh, yeah, when we get to heaven, brother, what a day that will be. Heaven is here. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Lord. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Release faith in that area. You are not a stepchild. You are not a stepchild. You are not going to take the abuse of the world. Amen. He wants to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Now, you have to really grasp that, because at times you'll say, oh, I don't know, I just can't. And you know what? I don't think it, you know. Stop it. Stop it. You're a King's kid. Confess the word of God. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed coming out. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made a way where there was no way. Thank you, Father. I have more than enough. I have more than enough. Amen. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He didn't say that he maketh you to lie down in dryness in a desert place. He didn't say that. He said he maketh you to lie down in green pastures. And you know what, church? He says he restoreth your soul. You talk to a car guy, restoration or a fix-upper is two different things. So God's not going to just come and just fix one part of your body. It says he will restore it. You know what a restoration is? Get under a car and look at the frame. Look at the brakes. No grease. Look at the motor, every part. No grease. It's shiny and clean. New tires, new paint, new interior, new motor. That is a restoration. He will restore it. Your soul. If you believe. If you believe. Caleb had his full body strength at 75. Amen? He had full body strength. Moses didn't even start his ministry till 80. He was 80 years old. God called him to defend his people and lead them out of Egypt. 80. But you know what? America has an idealism that they give you that at 65, you're done. Yeah. Well, that's not true in the Lord God. Yeah. That's not 65. You're just a middle-aged child.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? You got to believe God to receive God in a world that's hostile.
Yeah.
So that you can go and do the good work, do the works of Christ in every area of your life. You are not limited, church. You're not limited to just words. And I tell you, you're not limited in these walls. If you leave here and you leave His resurrection power, which you're going to learn about this week, if you leave here and you leave His resurrection power in these walls and you go out there naked in the Spirit, then you do not understand the power of Christ. You have to make practical application. Well, Bob, Elder Bob, what if I fail? So what? So what? I've laid hands on people in the name of Jesus and they died. So what? It doesn't mean that the next one I land, well, it will live. They will live. So then you build your faith and you believe God and you don't limit the word. Get out of your head. Get into something that's greater than you. Do it for Jesus' sake. Let Him work through you. Let the power of God catapult you into something that you did not even dream of doing. I should not be teaching revelations. Revelation. Because it's way beyond me. But when I go into the seven churches, what He told them churches and how John instructed them in jail, in a cave, on an exile, He sent a messenger. And He pastored them. It was greater than John. It was greater. It was greater than him. But he did it because he believed God. He believed God would take care of him. He believed God would take care of his churches. He believed that the king is coming. And maybe not in him, his timeline, that people said he was wrong because he wasn't wrong. But the king is coming.
Yeah.
Trust me, church, the king is coming.
Yes, he is.
He's coming with a vengeance. He's coming with 10,000 of his saints. Amen? And we'll be raptured up only to come back up and see his glorious victory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's what I want to tell you about Revelation. It's a book of promise. It's a book to get excited about. I hope that I kind of stirred your imagination and your curiosity that you go and get into the book of Revelation. Go read it. It's wonderful. Amen. And will you understand it? Probably not. Amen. I had to read 3 chapters over about a dozen times just to get it that I could talk about it. But church, it's not beyond me. It's the Holy Spirit that you're hearing here tonight. It's the Holy Spirit of God that equips you. It strengthens you. It makes you who you would not be if you didn't believe. But because you believe, it makes you strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Yeah.
You can speak to your children. You can speak life. You can speak to your circumstances. You can speak life and not death. We got the first 3 chapters. There's going to be a part 2 I want to share with you when I come up here again. Rotation, 3-4 weeks, whatever. But 6 weeks, but whatever it is, I'm going to share about the 7 churches of Asia Minor. You're going to love it. Amen?
Amen.
So God bless you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you.